Okay, I'm looking forward to this Wednesday night into Thursday morning. 2 hours of special open lines for you now. So let's sit back and see what you've got. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We've got open lines for you. Those of you who want to share some of your impressions, premonitions as well, jump on board. No special hotline today. We'll reserve that for Fridays. But let's go to the phones. First time caller line. Where might you be? Hi there.
How you doing, George?
Good, sir.
My name is Rick. I'm calling from Chicago.
The Windy City.
Oh, yeah. You know it. I just wanted to say I'm a first-time caller. I love your show so much. It's awesome. I'm a huge guy.
Thanks, Rick.
You should have Graham Hancock on your show more. That guy's awesome.
He's one of the best, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think I'm going to grow some magic mushrooms in my apartment because of him.
Be careful.
I wanted to ask your impression on Ghost Hunters, the television show, and what's the scientific community think about that show, if you know.
Yes, you know, I've had Jason and Grant on the program before. You know, I've got a relationship with the Sci-Fi Network, so I want to temper any biasness that might come out of this. I like the show because it's real. You know, they started off as plumbers, not professional scientific investigators. They've learned, so if you look at the show purely in terms of if you're into ghosts and you like investigations, they do a very good job. They're not extremely scientific, but they're learning. Every season I watch them, they seem to be picking up more and more information that they might not have had the previous year. What I like about them is they've got guts. You know, unlike most scientific folks who won't touch the subject matter, at least these two guys pop in there, and I like that.
I agree with you. And they investigated a church on tonight's show, and I thought it was interesting that everyone left a church.
Yeah, what do you think of ghosts? Are you a believer?
Yes, I am. I haven't had an experience. I wanted an experience in everything you guys talk about, but just haven't had any yet.
Well, you will one day.
Thank you, George.
Okay.
Have a good night.
All right, take care. Listening to us on WLS, our monster station in Chicago, program director Kipper McGee. Kipper, by the way, was one of my program directors in St. Louis when I was just getting started into talk radio. And he was one of those who kind of pushed me and steered me in the direction of Coast to Coast. And he said, you know what, you ought to try for this, and you should do some backup work. And one of those instrumental in my career. So many people. Isn't it fascinating in our lives, if you think about this for a moment, how many people have had an influence in our lives, whether it was our parents or a friend or a mentor, a teacher? There's always a handful of people out there that you can look at who help shape the direction of who you are and what you've become. And I've got some dear friends out there, and many of them have also passed on. Let's go to our international line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Where are you calling from?
Windsor, Ontario.
Hi. Great.
How are you doing tonight, George?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Good. I just had a quick question for you. With the couple that you've had on before that does the EVPs?
Yes. Well, we've got a lot of people, but we've got the ghost investigators. We've got that group. We've had other groups on, but sure, go ahead.
Okay, I just wondered if you had any plans of having it on. Like, I believe it was a male-female tandem that was doing it.
Yes.
And I haven't heard them on in a while, but I'm very fascinated with EVP, so I didn't know.
Well, let me tell you, the reason why they're not on is we wait for them to come back to us and say, hey, you know, we've gone on several investigations. We've got some more EVP sounds for you. And you know, obviously that's when you want to get them back on. So no immediate plans, but I'm sure they're working on some things for us.
Okay, that sounds good, George.
Okay, and also don't forget, Halloween night, Art Bell will be on live doing his traditional ghost-to-ghost show. Don't forget that. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from out there?
Yep. Dublin, Ohio.
Okay, you sound like you're in an echo chamber.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't expect to come on so quick. I've called before. I never got on that quick. I guess my question is
You're in the restroom somewhere.
First of all, well, no, I'm inside a room inside a friend's house. But
okay.
I was wondering if what you think about the law of attraction, and also I wanted to know if you're familiar with a gentleman named Bob Proctor.
Bob Proctor, I am not. Tell me about him, and then we'll chit-chat about the law of attraction. But go ahead.
Yeah, he's just he's a guy who teaches it, you know, and he's really made big changes in my life since I've been introduced to him. And just kind of a motivational speaker of sort. And
now, all right, when you talk, though, about law of attraction, are you talking about male-female or some other things in your life?
No, the law of attraction sort of states what you think about is what you get. Sort of like the movie The Secret. Bob Proctor in that movie. And I didn't know, you know, I've been interested in asking you about it because I listen to your show a lot. And you're pretty intellectual about a lot of things. So I just didn't know if you understood that or knew what it was or anything.
Well, that particular law of attraction, I have been a strong believer that be careful what you wish for, because if you set your mind to something without negativity, without doubt, chances are you're going to get it. You're going to get pretty darn close to it.
Yeah, you believe the universe, like,
yep.
Okay.
And the secret is you let it happen. Mm-hmm. You need to be ready for it. Here's an example. Let's say you want a particular job. Mm-hmm. School yourself for it, train yourself for it, be ready for it, and be the darn best you can be at it.
Mm-hmm.
But concentrate on getting that job, getting that position, without really being obnoxious about it or pushy about it. The doors are going to open for you, because they've opened for me and they've opened up for a lot of people that I've talked to about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're ready, and that has to do with how good you're going to be, whether you're going to keep that job, that's a different issue all to itself. But that's where I say you got to be ready for it too. But I'm a very strong believer that once you get into the universe, the wireless internet, as I call it, and let it happen, let it flow, it's going to take you on an incredible journey.
Certainly. So you're saying like quantum mechanics and stuff like that, how it says your consciousness affects things. You believe in that then, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't get mired down in heavy mechanics of physics when it comes to this. I think it's a much simpler approach. It's just part of living. It's part of what all this might be. And, you know, I've just been a believer in it. And I try to help other people believe in this as well. It works.
Oh, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay. I have a feeling, a very sneaky suspicion, you're going to hit a personal home run one day. And when you do, you call us back and tell us what happened. Wildcard Line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, it's Amy.
Hey, Amy.
In Pittsburgh. How are you?
Good.
Good. The reason I called in is I was listening to your guest earlier, and I just wanted to say about the MRSA staph infection.
Yes.
I actually, a couple months ago, was bitten by a brown recluse spider.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You couldn't have been bitten by one of the worst spiders.
Well, the thing is, I was bitten, we're assuming it was like on a Friday. Saturday night, my husband and I were out to dinner, and I kept scratching. I thought it was a pair of mosquito bites on my leg.
Sure.
I kept scratching and scratching and scratching. Sunday, by the next day, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon at work, I lifted my pant leg up, and my entire, the portion that was bit was like brown and like turning black. It was like flesh eating.
Yeah, it was corroding away on you.
Yeah, and a couple of the people that worked with me said, that looks like a brown recluse spider bite. And I live in Pennsylvania, which they're not known to be here at all.
And where were you, Amy, when you got bitten? Were you in the house?
I was in my house.
All right.
So I went to the emergency room. The doctor that saw me said, looked at it and said, yeah, I think you were bitten by a poisonous spider, and sucked the venom out with a needle. Gave me some antibiotics, sent me home, patched it up, said, if it doesn't get better in 2 days, call your family doctor. Well, 2 days later, the infection had spread. So I went to my family doctor, and she swabbed it, and I ended up getting MRSA from it.
Oh.
So I had to take extra medication, and then 4 days later, they ended up having to put me on a steroids for 5 days in order to get rid of it.
Have you been on the internet, Amy? Have you seen the pictures of brown recluse spider bites?
Horrible. Oh, yeah, and how they, like, basically eat away your entire
family. My gosh. I mean, huge chunks of flesh just gone.
So my husband got on, he actually got on the internet first, and he ended up buying some kind of brown recluse spider bite kit from somebody that has some kind of powder, and I don't really know if it would work. We still have it here in the house because we can't return it because he just kind of freaked out, saw some type of remedy, bought it, got it sent to the house. But, I mean, I'm okay now, but I do have a big scar on my leg from it. But I'll tell you what, that MRSA staph infection, it wasn't really common at the time. I mean, this was a couple of months ago. Like, just in the last few months, it's gotten a lot of notoriety. But when I got it, even the people I work with are like, oh, you should be hospitalized. You can't have MRSA. Like, I had to take 3 days off work. The SS I work at, we don't take any days off. So I literally had to sit at home with my leg up for 3 days because they said it could go to your heart.
You are lucky. You are lucky you're alive. I had a story a couple months ago about a woman who was pregnant. She was in a hospital. She got a staph infection. They ended up amputating her two arms and two legs. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, they said if I wouldn't have gotten the actual spider bite even treated within 2 days like I did, that in itself could have been dangerous. But then the fact that when I got it treated at the hospital, I got MRSA from it was kind of like a double whammy.
So how are you right now other than the scar? You're okay?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
Now, the kit your husband bought, was that to catch the spider or to cure you?
No, it was to cure me. I mean, we never used it because I was already under treatment by the time it
came. But where's the exterminator? The spider's not in. He's not running around loose in the house, is he?
No. You know, we ended up finding it. And it has a very, like a brown recluse spider is very plain looking. And it has a very distinct fiddle shape on its back. It's kind of like a brown spider with a tan shape of a violin on it. And we caught the spider, looked at it, and I'm like, oh my God, that's actually it, which is weird because they're not known to be in Pennsylvania at all.
Amy.
But when I talked to the doctor, they said it might have came in. We just bought some new furniture.
Amy?
Yes.
How do you know that was the spider?
Well, I don't, but we haven't seen any since.
What if there are millions in the house?
Oh, don't say that. Because I thought that. Because, you know, we have 3 kids in the house, too.
Well, that you need to take care of. Hey, get an exterminator for a couple $100. It's worth it, huh? Peace of mind.
Yeah.
They
thought it might have came in a shipment of possibly the new furniture we bought. It could be anything. I mean, you really don't know because they're prone to, I think it's Louisiana, Boston, anywhere there's shipping ports.
They're in St. Louis, too.
Really?
They're in St. Louis. I don't know if they're in California, but California has little baby scorpions all over the place. I mean, so, you know, every community is not immune to some kind of insect or virus or disease. I mean, it's everywhere. You can't get away from it. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm well. How about you?
Good, good. Hey, I hadn't heard anything for quite a while about Steve Fawcett and Major Ed Dames. He was supposed to go in with some kind of extraction team and find him. Did they ever do that?
We are waiting for an update from Dr. Doom. He was on the program last week for just a brief moment. They are trying to narrow the area from a mile down to just a few meters. They're working on that. He was able to get a plane ride by some Russian pilots in some kind of a small Cessna to go in. The winds are treacherous. Ed Dames has a feeling that the winds may have taken Stephen Fawcett down, and we called him today, still waiting for the update. We're not going to let it go. Dames seems to be the only one left out there trying to pursue this.
Yeah, I've been keeping up on the internet every day from work, and there is no information whatsoever, so it seems like he's the only one doing it.
Yeah, and you know, he's got his neck out there on the line. I mean, He's out there now, and he can't hide. He can't get away. He's got to, you know, he said one of two things. He said, number one, he knows where Fawcett is, so they need to go find him. And he also said that he had died. Well, it's obvious now that I think Stephen Fawcett has passed on.
I don't understand why they're not listening to him. I mean, he's got a good reputation where this is, you know, where, what, you know, with this kind of information. I don't understand why they they're not listening to him at all. I don't get it.
You know, and he has sent me copies of emails that he has sent to some of Stephen Fawcett's group or people who've been part of the search, and they really don't care. You know, and it's disappointing. So let's see what happens, and let's hope that within the next few days, we'll find out what happens.
Well, real quick, I just wanted to let you know I've had experiences with poltergeists, which is kind of an off thought, in my house, not where I'm living now, but where I used to live in Colorado. And
what happened?
A pretty scary thing. Well, the first thing was as I was laying in bed one night reading a book, and it felt like somebody was sitting on my bed. And when I looked up, there was an indentation on the bed, like somebody had been sitting there.
Right there.
Really weird. And then I would notice little things, like I would leave my keys on the table, and they would, when I go back, they were gone, and I would find them in like some oddball places all over the house.
And you know you didn't put them there.
Oh, heck yeah. Absolutely.
And then sometimes they come back to the original spot.
Yep, sometimes. I haven't had that happen, but I did find them in some really oddball places. Like one time I found it that we have an attic door at that house, and I looked, I just thought, you know what? You never know.
You
and I
never.
Went up there and sure enough, they were right there, and I found them in teapots. I found them everywhere. So,
well,
weird stuff.
At least you've got one who's just playing around with you, and he's not too violent. Wild Card Line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine, and where are you?
This is Eddie, and I'm in Dallas.
Hi, Eddie. How are things going there? Did you have some rough water over the last couple days?
Not really.
Did you have some flooding down there? Some of your buildings were flooded and stuff?
It was just cloud bursts, and they were heavy.
Oh, heavy bursts. Okay.
And then they would go away.
And then they came to St. Louis.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. What's going on?
Last year, about 2 days before Halloween, I listened to the show for the first time. And so I wanted to hear the ghost to ghost. And I thought that would be a cool way to do Halloween.
Sure.
And I thought, well, I'll do an EVP, too, because y'all had been, you know, I think y'all did a show about EVP right before it. And so I did one of those. And ever since then, I've had nothing but bad luck.
What do you mean, nothing but bad luck? What do you think has happened here?
I've lost my job. I'm in severe depression. I can't get out of my house. I can't drive my car.
Ever since you listened to Ghost to Ghost?
That's never it started.
Well, I tell you what, you're coming up on a year. We've got another Ghost to Ghost show planned on Halloween. Give it a try. Maybe it'll do a reversal for you.
Well, I'm stay outside listening to y'all praying. Come on, aliens, come get me.
Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
You really want to go?
In a heartbeat.
Would you miss us?
I would probably still hear you.
All right, good. We'll make sure of that. I don't know if CC Radio probably works out there, too. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And I don't know if you can hear the crickets down here in the cave in St. Louis. Danny can. They're out there. I'm going to be quiet for just a sec. See if you can hear. Yep, you hear them? They're out there, full force. Here we are. We're going into November in a few weeks, and we still have crickets. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Ah.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Buenos dias.
Si.
How are your Spanish skills?
I took 2 years of Spanish in college.
All right.
I don't remember all of the words, but I did okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Just seeing how you do. Well, I have two questions.
Okay.
Well, actually, I forgot. I'm a little nervous, actually, a little too, but I'm calling from El Centro, California, first-time caller, listening since 2003.
Thank you.
And you're doing a great job, by the way. And anyhow, my question... question is, my first question, like around 2003, 2004, a lady called you, and she was talking about, I think she moved to a new house, and there was a purple tree there. It was small. And then, like around, like the next day, I think she said, all of a sudden it grew to many, many feet, like really tall. And you asked her if she could send you pictures for that. And I was just wondering if you're going to comment later on, you know, on what happened with that, but I never heard you say anything about it anymore.
I never, it's amazing you still do, but I never got the picture. I never got that. Yeah, I was looking for like one of those Jack and the Beanstalk seeds, and that this tree just kept going into the clouds, but I never got the picture from her.
Oh, that's too bad, because that was pretty interesting. I mean, if it was true, that would have been incredible.
You know, and it's probably true. You know, she may have, it may have had a spurt of growth for some reason.
Right. And well, that was my first question. My second question has to do with poltergeist. I was wondering, would you happen to know anybody who knows how to get rid of poltergeists? Because,
yeah.
I have a poltergeist in my house. I mean, it's not a really wicked one. I mean, it does minor stuff, but actually, you know, it came through the Ouija board.
Oh, see? There's problem one. It's probably more of a nuisance to you, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes it psychically attacks me. Like, it bad vibes me and stuff. I've had it for a few years, and, like, it turns off the radio and on. You know, it turns on and off the radio once in a while, stuff like that.
Well, just make sure this thing doesn't turn it off when I'm on the air here.
No. I think it likes Coast to Coast, because it always leaves it on when I'm listening to that. So.
It's probably called the program before.
It just makes noises here and there, you know, the rapping noises and stuff like that. But
do you have a computer?
No, I don't. I have access at the library.
Okay. Well, if you can get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, and Coast 2, it's T-O in the middle, all right? Coast to Coast AM. You got to have the AM on the bottom, on the back, coasttocoastam.com. There's a little section there that just says search. Type in Marianne Ghostbuster. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And she's a great resource for you when it comes to ghost busting and things like that. And okay. she's going to be on sometime in November with Jennifer Love Hewitt, by the way. It's going to be a great program.
Pretty soon. Okay, next month.
Okay.
Okay, and yeah, just to let you know how that happened was that, me and my mom were using the Ouija board, and we actually had some high teachers coming in, supposedly. One came in under the name of Zoroaster. I don't know if you know who that is, but that was like an ancient philosopher from Persia. And
interesting.
So one time we were using it, and I requested that, well, I wanted to get some advice from maybe like Buddha or something, right? and of course, right? No Buddha came through. Actually, just a lot of bad vibes. And that's when it came through. And I just, after that, I got rid of that Ouija board. And that poltergeist has been here for a few years. But it's actually, for some reason, it seems to be getting weaker. It's kind of weaker now, but it still hangs around.
Yeah, get rid of the Ouija board. You know, you've been listening to the program. You know how I feel about him now. And then just move on. Yeah, Marianne and Jennifer Love Hewitt will be on Ghost Whisperer, that successful television show. And Marianne is a consultant to the program. And, of course, Jennifer is the star of it. And, they're all excited about the program. So we'll try to do that a little bit for you. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going, George?
Good, thank you.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. This is James in the wine country of Temecula.
Yes, it is.
Yes. You know, there's something that's bugging me, and I want to run this past you.
All right.
In listening to Jimmy Sparks the other night and Yvonne last night, and just the myriad of folks that you have on concerning abductions, it seems to me that something isn't quite right with SETI. It started out as the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. But, you know, what if, remember that report that we heard out of SETI and then it was squashed, that there's all so many signals coming that they don't know what to do with it? What if that is true And they're actually using someone like Seth or someone else to be a phony front to just keep playing down the fact, well, you know, if there is intelligence out there, we surely would have heard it by now. And I have one other thing, and you can answer me off the air. I have a new acronym, and it's Simulated Extraterrestrial Investigation.
Okay, well, here's my take. I tend to read people, I think, pretty well. I like Seth Shostak. He's practical. He believes in extraterrestrial life, or he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. Does not believe that we've been visited here. I don't think Seth Shostak would lie to us. There are some government officials who will lie to us. There are some things that they will mislead us on. There are some things they won't tell us about. I don't think Seth Shostak is that type. You know, we had the debate between Stanton Friedman and Seth. Stanton won, rightfully so. It was a good debate. But I think if SETI really got a signal, I mean, of incredible scope, I think they'd let us know about it. If they could. Now, are there some government officials who would take over and try to, you know, quiet this thing down? That's always a possibility. But I don't think Seth Shostak knowingly comes on this program or anybody else or any place else and misleads people and doesn't tell the truth. You can just tell with the conviction of his voice. I mean, he's excited about the Paul Allen array of telescopes that have now gone online. He's excited about where they're going to aim. And I got to be honest with you. I think SETI, which is limping along budget-wise, would get a boost of dollars if they found a signal. And, you know, they wouldn't have to worry about all these private sources for this. But that's my take. You've got your own. And again, I don't believe everything that that we're force-fed to believe at all. But in this particular case, I don't think they've gotten the signal of signals yet. And I do believe they'd tell us about it if they heard it. You know, it's not like they're next door and we're being invaded. I have questions over whether government would tell us that or not. But I think if we picked up a signal out there in the far reaches of space, I think they'd tell us about it. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Dexter from Medford, Oregon.
Dexter. Boy, there's a show called Dexter on Showtime. Have you seen it?
Yes, I'm kidding about it. Also, Dexter's Lab. yes, and with my personality, my name matches my personality.
It's a serial killer guy.
I know. And then they also have Dexter's Lab, and I have funny voices. So, yes, my name works out. People, don't forget me. First thing, I've listened to the show since it started out in Las Vegas, and you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
One of the things I do is I'm a sourdough expert, and I had to comment on Jessica's conversation you had in the previous hour, and that is I really personally think that part of people's immune systems are affected greatly by their diet, and I think that people should try to eat a piece of sourdough once in a while, because I've noticed since I did quite a bit of research on sourdough and adding it to my diet and friends' diet that the health of the people I've seen has greatly increased because they're eating real bread as opposed to this new stuff that was made the mid-19th century. And
That's a good point. I eat sourdough as well, and, you know, it's done some incredible things for me. How did you get to be a sourdough expert? How did that happen?
What happened was is that many years ago, I used to bake as a kid, and I gave up the hobby when I had a real career in electronics and software development. And then as I moved along in my career as management, I thought, well, there's a good way to relieve stress is to look at how people would bake in the old ways, because I was getting very tired of seeing fast food meal creation, even by the fancy chefs. And I think you've seen some of those TV programs where...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where you take a squirt bottle and make a fancy plate dish, and voila. But it isn't, it's fast food redressed. And I've always enjoyed sharing good food with people. And the thing is that old cooking techniques take time, and but so often that really produces the best tasting food. So one thing that fascinated me was that I remembered as a kid that old sourdough bread recipes that my family used to do for generations, we could get a loaf of bread and put it literally on the counter and it would stay good, meaning that it wouldn't turn into that white viral bacterial infestation and have to toss it in the garbage can in 2 days if you didn't protect it. Whereas if you get a home, you know, bread that's brought in from the factory, that just gets immediately attacked. And so it always puzzled me. So I started looking at all the strains of sourdough, and my oldest one now is 250 years old from New England, and I have sourdough from Alaska and San Francisco, and and sourdough that I've captured here in Oregon in 2002, and they all coexist, and they live 24 hours a day, and it's real food. And the more I worked with it, with ironware, which has come out of phase, a lot of people say you can't cook an egg in an ironware, I know how to do that. It became a very fascinating topic of how did people cook the old ways outside of a microwave oven. I happen to be a very good cook, but I decided, well, let's research how they did this. And it just became a long, fascinating trail following what people did to survive the real hardships of going out in the West. And my interest in gold mining follows along with it as well. So I guess the more I explored, the more I saw how sourdough bread or baked goods besides just sourdough, like for example, I make a sourdough chocolate cake. You would not know it was made out of sourdough. I have about 300 recipes. And so it was just a very fascinating trail, but I noticed that people eating it could literally feel it in their system. And it was almost an enzymic response.
Huh. We should do our own experiment with that and see what happens with sourdough. Yeah, I'm a believer in that. By the way, my very favorite, when you're talking about some of these TV chefs, my very favorite ever was a guy who's not with us anymore. He died in 2001, Justin Wolfson. Remember him? He was born in Louisiana, and he's the one that said, "I guarantee." And I liked him. He was fun. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, sir.
And I just want to say, first of all, I've been listening to your show since about February, and I actually found the show actually by accident. And I want to say it was probably like the best accident that probably ever happened to me.
It was fate that drew you to us.
Right. I was looking for a jazz station in the AM, and it was you guys were talking about some aliens. I'm like, wow, what's this? So I'm like, listening. So I've been listening since then. But I wanted to call and tell you about kind of funny but kind of creepy story at the same time.
Okay, sure.
When I was a kid, I think I was probably like about maybe like 6 or 7. And my sister and I, we shared the same bedroom. And in this house, I've always had like this type of sense, like when I walk into a home or something like that, I walk into a room and I can immediately get like this strange feeling of something bad happened in like this room. I know what it is. I know what happened. It was kind of weird. But in the bedroom that my sister and I, we shared, the ceiling was kind of octagon shaped. So that in a sense to me right there was kind of weird in itself. But anyway, I had this Gumby doll. I don't know if you remember the cartoon Gumby.
Oh, I sure do.
And his best friend was Pokey, the little horse there. Well, I had this, and this was one of my favorite toys when I was a kid. And his arms were kind of like, he had like little wire things on the inside where he can bend his arms different ways, his legs different ways. And he had these eyes, they were kind of like reflective, like bicycle reflectors kind of.
Yeah.
And every day when I was done playing with him, I would put him on top of this, used to be this company called Charles Chips. They used to deliver chips in a little tin can.
I used to get them in Michigan, out of Detroit when they were there.
Great chips, great
They
chips.
Were great, weren't they?
They were really good. And I was sitting on top of this can every night, and outside my window there was a light, and the light would flicker on and off, like a lot of street lights do when they're old. And it would seem like he was blinking at me. So one night it kind of creeped me out. I remember getting out of the bed, and I grabbed the Gumby doll, and I threw him behind the door. Now, I know I was awake. I know I was awake. I never went to sleep. And all of a sudden, like the door started to, like, open a little bit, and I always kept my bedroom door closed. It opened a little bit, and out behind his door was like an 8-foot Gumby.
No.
And and his eyes were like almost like bloodshot red.
Was he mad?
Yeah, he was mad. I mean, he was mad, and he had like he was telling me to like come behind the door, and I would like I wouldn't go. Well, the next morning, this probably went on for about a good 15, 20 minutes, so I wouldn't come. So the next morning, I looked behind the door, and the Gumby doll was gone. And we searched everywhere in this house for this Gumby doll, and we could not find it. And this, I mean, this, like I said, this went on for 15 or 20 minutes, and it was just so weird. To this day, when I'm flipping through the TV and I see an old Gumby cartoon, I just turn because it reminds me of that night. And my friends joke about me, you know, joke to me about it all the time. Like, hey, he was watching Gumby today, and I don't even want to talk about it because it was just like so weird.
Simple little Gumby, you really ticked him off, didn't you?
Right, and then that really happened. And like I said, this whole house was just so weird. It's funny because people have moved in this house, but they never stay long. I was driven past this house. I look there, and I'll see someone move in, and then I'll come back maybe a couple months later, and they're gone. So I don't know if they're experiencing weird things that's going on in this house, but it never stays occupied very long.
That's a neat story. Hey, one quick thing about the Charles chips.
Okay.
Did we have to give the can back whenever we got new chips, or did we get to keep the can? I can't remember.
Well, you had to give the can back, but see, it was kind of almost like when you order water and like the you know the little things you put on the little water cooler for your home, and sometimes you have to give those back. Well, this one particular one I kept because I kept little toys inside of it, and most of the time, I think you had to give them back, but this one particular one I kept. Actually, my father kept it, and we still have it, so it's probably a collector's item by now.
It's probably, yeah, put it on eBay. It's probably worth a fortune.
Oh, yeah. It's a brown can. It has, like, Charles chips and, like, a little brown cloud. It has, like, little brown dots all over it, so it probably is worth some money. I still have it. It's, like, almost in mint condition, too. It's amazing.
Gosh, I love it. Hey, by the way, if there's anybody, this is just a strange little request, send me a fast blast. Is there anybody out there that remembers when the guy used to, I don't remember this at all. It was before my time, I think. But when he used to deliver dry ice to your house because they didn't have refrigeration in those days, not like we do. If anybody remembers that, just send me a fast blast if you can, if you have a computer. I'll be back in a moment.